if you'd open your Bible to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start reading in verse number 17 and read quite a few verses here. And the subject is supper at Levi's. Now, the time when we have a meal is the time when we're usually closest because we have communion around meals. Not just the Lord's table, of course, which is a different thing, but when we all sit down to eat together, there's a special camaraderie and a special fellowship that we enjoy. So it would be really instructive to look at the Lord Jesus as he's found at various tables during his earthly ministry. And here we're going to find him at the table of Levi, who is also called Matthew. So let's start reading then in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw him their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Now there's a person that is watching and hearing all that has transpired up to this point. Verse 27. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? The same crowd that we saw a few verses earlier. And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But behold, the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk of old wine, straightway desireth the new, for he saith, The old is better. So we find here that the Lord Jesus now is teaching, And he encounters the scribes and Pharisees twice here, and they're always attempting to find fault. But he has some pretty good answers. When they quizzed him about, why are you speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? He answers in verse number 23, whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk. He's saying here that the same God that can forgive sin, they having accused him of blasphemy, also has the power to make the lame man stand and walk. And of course, he does this in answer to the faith that these people had. They couldn't get their friend in front of Jesus, so of course they climb up on the roof, tear up the roof, and lower him down right in front of Jesus, so Jesus is probably going to notice him. Well, that isn't what caused Jesus to notice him. What caused Jesus to notice him was his faith and the faith of his friends that put him there. And so the Lord now answers the Pharisees and scribes once, and now we find that Levi, or Matthew, the publican, is sitting at the receipt of custom, and Jesus not answers him, but commands him, follow me. And he, verse number 28, left all, rose up, and followed him. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, he doesn't mention this. Matthew doesn't mention about himself that he had to make a momentous decision in his life. One of the most lucrative things you could be in the land of Israel at this time was a publican or a tax collector or a tax farmer. The publican's job was to collect all the taxes that were due the Roman government. All the vassal countries that Rome had conquered were put to tribute and had to pay taxes to Rome. And of course, we find that when the Lord Jesus is born, the reason that they were at Bethlehem is because Caesar Augustus decided that the whole world should be taxed. Politicians haven't changed a bit. So they're found in Bethlehem at this time, and now we find Matthew at the receipt of custom, and the Lord says, follow me. And in verse number 29, we see that Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. What has happened here is Levi is making a citywide feast. This thing is big. He's made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus now, and so the first thing that he does is figure out how can I let my friends and neighbors know what has happened in my life. And so he makes the Lord Jesus a great feast. Now, the sort of people that are going to come to the feast that a publican puts on are probably not what would be considered the glitterati of the city. No, these are people that are just like Matthew and maybe those that are worse, although a Jew would have said that a publican was the lowest form of life in all of Israel. And so this is not a sort of a function that the rich and famous would attend. And so Jesus now is made the head of the table. Levi or Matthew does this feast in honor of the Lord Jesus. And what happens? Well, in verse number 30, the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Wait a minute, I think we said just a moment ago that the rich and famous and the glitterati wouldn't show up at a place like this. But there they are. What's their purpose? To find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ, to call him down for this thing or that thing. And in verse number 32, the scripture says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. what a different thing we see going on at this meal than what we saw in the house of Simon the Pharisee, which we'll cover in due course. So what does the Lord say here to Matthew? Two words: follow me. Those were spoken audible words, but there's something else going on here spiritually. Matthew knows. And by the way, there's no hint here that the Lord had ever met Matthew before this particular time. Matthew has heard what's going on. He knows, because everybody in the city knows what the Pharisees are doing. And when we read the scriptures here, Matthew no doubt had heard that the Lord Jesus had told this man with the palsy, your sins be forgiven you, and the things that happened around that issue. Matthew, even though he might not have met the Lord Jesus, had certainly heard about him and had certainly heard about the things that he had done. Follow me. The thing here to note is that man never seeks God. The spirit and soul of man, and especially his mind, is the enemy of God, as we learn in the book of Romans. Men will not naturally seek God, but the wonderful thing is that God came to seek man and to find him in the place where he is. And that's what's happened to Matthew. He's sitting at the receipt of custom in the very act of farming taxes. And the Lord says two words: follow me. The call, the Holy Spirit here is working. And so Levi, he rises up and he leaves all, means he quit. He walked away from that very lucrative position that he had, because the Romans, once they got their measure of tribute, would allow these publicans to extort extra money from the people, and they got to keep that. And so you can imagine all the creative accounting that went on when they figured out somebody's taxes. They made sure that they made a hefty profit margin, and they were very wealthy. This is a lucrative position that Levi is in. But the scripture says that he rose up and left all. He left it behind, and he followed Jesus. This is a huge thing when you think about it. Matthew knows who he is when he speaks only two words: follow me. There's no question in Matthew's mind that he's dealing with Emmanuel, God with us. And yet he didn't see any miracle. Now, he knew about it, but he doesn't see it here as he's sitting at the receipt of custom. Jesus simply speaks two words: follow me, the call of the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing that Levi does is he becomes an evangelist. He's not going to allow the transformation that's taken place in his life to abide alone, because I don't know if they actually had a trade guild, but the publicans all knew each other. You can be sure that they published a newsletter with the latest means of extorting the last farthing from the people. They all knew each other. They were a sort of a club, outcasts, but they hung together here. And so now Levi is making a great feast, verse 29, in his own house. He doesn't go out and rent a hall to do this. He invites everybody into his own house and puts Jesus at the head of the table. He's the head of the feast. Levi is not seeking any position for himself, but the allure of free food overcomes whatever recalcitrance his friends might have had to actually come to the feast. And so they're all gathered together there, and they see Jesus at the head of the table. And of course, the first question they're going to ask is, why is he here? We've heard of him. Well, Levi is about to tell him. However, the scribes and Pharisees, who have clipped in through the side door apparently, are still there with their critical spirit. And of course, the Lord Jesus answers them in verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so a great decision has been made here by Levi, and we find the result of that in that he writes the Gospel of Matthew. He doesn't mention here the fact that he rises up and leaves all, but Luke brings it forth to us. Matthew would rather forget that and just move on and not engage in self-aggrandizement. But Luke wants to bring this to our attention because it's important. When the Lord Jesus Christ is in communion with a group of people, many of them will believe. Somehow Matthew intrinsically knew that. That's why he made this feast in his own house. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He doesn't suggest to Levi, well, you know, I'd rather not come in under your roof. Why don't we rent the town hall? No, the Lord Jesus says, that sounds wonderful. And he goes down to the very house of Levi and sits at the table with all of the publicans and sinners. Isn't it something that the Lord Jesus had to tell these Pharisees that the publicans and sinners will go into the kingdom of heaven before they will? He leaves all. He makes him a great feast in his own house. And then we find something else going on here as well. In Luke 5:31, not quite done with this passage of scripture yet. And Jesus answering and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now remember, the Pharisees are sitting here listening to all of this and taking it in, and they're already murmuring against not just the Lord Jesus, but his disciples too. These people were so evil and so demonic that they decided to parade Lazarus through town and show that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to raise the dead. I expected some opposition to that. They tried to murder Lazarus because even though he had raised somebody that had been dead 4 days from the dead, they would rather kill Lazarus than to allow that truth concerning the Lord Jesus to get out. That's how depraved and wicked these Pharisees are. Yeah, this is what religious zealotry can do. I think in our own day and age we see zealotry, people murdering in the name of their so-called God. They that are whole need not a physician. You know, if they had been listening, they would have realized that the Lord Jesus had spoken this against them. But they're not listening because they have nothing else in mind but to do the bidding of their Father. And when we get to John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes very plain in his speech to these same Pharisees and publicans when he says unto them, when they accuse him of being born of fornication, he says unto them, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. I have no idea why so many Christians kind of get it in their mind that these Pharisees were the creme de la creme of Judaism. They were zealous about keeping the law. Maybe we Christians should keep some of the law. No. If the law is represented by these Pharisees, that'd be the last thing in the world, I would think, that any Christian would ever want to emulate. These are the most wicked and depraved people on the planet. They're going right in the very face of solid, irrefutable evidence. that the Lord Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, that he is God with us. They that are whole need not a physician.
Pastor, you're not saying we're not supposed to, I mean, it's okay to murder, right? Because you're saying if they kept the law, then we shouldn't keep the law. But you're not saying it that way, right?
No, of course not. What I'm saying is, why would we want to emulate these wicked people who in the minds of most of humanity think are those that are zealous for the law? They should be the most upright. They should be the most righteous. And yet we find out that they're the most wicked and depraved people that the Lord Jesus Christ deals with during his earthly ministry. It isn't what most people would have considered the off-scouring of the earth, the publicans and the sinners. Nobody wanted to have any fellowship with them because they were the lowlifes. But at least the lowlifes knew that they had a need. Matthew also knew that he had a need, and he knew exactly who could fill that need. So it shouldn't surprise us at all that as he's sitting at the receipt of custom, Jesus comes by and says two words, "Follow me." Everything clicked into place for him. You don't suppose that he might have been having a few fits of conscience about being a tax collector? Yeah, I think so too. And so, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Verse number 18. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? The harvest is past, and the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am black. My astonishment taketh hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah is speaking prophetically here about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the reception that he is going to get by national Israel. We need to understand that God deals with Israel in two ways. He deals with them as a nation, and he also deals with them as individuals. And so we find here that Levi, or Matthew, he is an Israelite, but he's not doing the same thing that the nation is doing in the rejecting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even today, the Jews are in rebellion against God, and they still reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the scripture tells us, they're enemies of ours for the gospel's sake, but they're beloved for their Father's sake. And here we see the heart of the Father in this little passage that we just read out of Jeremiah. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Yes, there is. But they would have none of his remedy. And yet the days are coming just to encourage you to be kind and good to Israel. All of Israel is going to be saved in a single day. But the Lord said that he would not return and have any dealings with them until they acknowledged their offense. When all of Israel gets on their knees at the Battle of Armageddon and confesses to the Lord Jesus that they were wrong, that they unrighteously had put him to death on the cross, and ask him to come and be their king, then he will do so, and all of Israel nationally will be saved in a single day. But it's a wonderful thing that Jeremiah looks forward to that. The Lord Jesus is the only medicine that can cure what is presently wrong with the nation of Israel. Let's look at verse number 19 once again. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Israel has always been surrounded by enemies. But they're crying. But like Esau, when he saw that he had lost the inheritance, he sought it with tears. He repented himself the same way that Judas, when he makes the admission that he's betrayed the innocent blood and tries to take the 30 pieces of silver back, the scripture says he repented himself. What does that mean? It means his conscience convicted him that he was wrong, but instead of crying out to God to forgive his grievous sin, he just repents in himself. That's what national Israel has been doing. It's the same thing that's going on here. And notice, too, in verse number 19, God asks, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images? Well, we can understand that part. And their strange vanities. Their strange vanities. That's what we see going on in the house of Matthew the publican. The same sinners that gladly hear the word of the Lord Jesus and have communion across the table with him, seated among them are these scribes and Pharisees that are attempting to find fault and deny his deity. By the way, that's precisely what Satan tries to do. And in another place in the scripture, this same crowd says, go and stand by yourself. We're holier than thou. God says, these are a smoke in my nose. I'm not away with it. And there's coming a time when this will be judged. And the strange vanities was, these Pharisees think that they're better than the Lord Jesus. Go stand by yourself. We're holier than you are. We're keepers of the law. We're Pharisees. We're doctors of the law. We don't need you. Well, they found themselves in an awful position for the last 2,000 years. In verse number 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. That's where they're at. Because they didn't want to have communion with the Lord Jesus, even though they were sitting at the table in Levi's house in the most communal setting that you could possibly find the Lord in this world, sharing a meal with all these people, still they'll have none of him. They've rejected him. And so I think the message for this morning, and I left out the wine in the new bottles because of the constraint of time, but what the Lord Jesus was basically saying there is you can't take what the Lord Jesus has brought into the world, because the law and the prophets were until John. That's over. And the Lord Jesus Christ now is centered in a man. We're saved by a personal relationship with the man Christ Jesus. And when we're saved in that way, we have communion with him. So it's really something to see the Lord Jesus seated at this table in the house of Levi, having communion with those that would have thought that they were the offscouring of the earth, but they had this going. They were willing to admit that they were sinners. Is there no balm in Gilead? Yes. Yes, there is.